check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.
Let's talk about extreme precipitation events. News about record rains or sometimes snow has become so frequent I could do a show on it every week. Just recently, a half dozen people died in floods in Louisiana. Parts of Brazil were hit with half their average monthly rainfall in just one day. In the desert, the United Arab Emirates just recorded their highest single day rainfall ever, 50 times normal for March. New research says this is only going to get worse as the world warms, but with an unexpected twist, for me at least. A letter published in the journal Nature Climate Change is titled "More Extreme Precipitation in the World's Dry and Wet Regions." In Sydney, Australia, we've reached the lead author, Marcus G. Donat, a research fellow at the Climate Change Research Institute at the University of New South Wales. Marcus, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Yeah, hi.
Good. Well, let's start here. How do we define extreme precipitation?
Oh, there's certainly many ways to define extreme precipitation. It really depends on what you're interested in. Yeah, if it's a prolonged rain event that brings you extreme rainfall over several days, or in many cases, it's really just the very short and intense storms that bring large amounts of rain just in a few hours. What we did in this study was considering extreme rain as the annual maximum of the rainfall amounts that falls within one day. So basically, we had daily recordings from many parts of the world, and basically, we're just choosing the annual maximum of all of these annual values. And this measure is for us a good compromise between capturing relevant extremes, but also having a reasonable global coverage, because these global totals of rainfall are a temporary aggregation that is observed in many and also reported from many parts of the world. So this helped us to increase the global coverage.
So the type of events that I just described as recent news, would that fit into the kind of research you're doing?
Absolutely, yes. So basically, this measure of daily totals and looking into the annual maxima of these daily totals totally would still capture these kind of events that are related to intense storms, mainly of convective nature, that were related to those extreme rainfall events, for example.
For years, Marcus, scientists have told us as global warming proceeds, the dry places will get drier and the wet regions will get wetter. Is that really what you found?
This is actually not what we found. But we were not the first to basically challenge this wet get wetter, dry get drier theory, which has become kind of a paradigm. But this has also to do with the way the wet and the dry regions are defined, or what parts of the world you're considering. So the dry get drier, wet get wetter theory basically was based on a study by Held and Zonen in 2006, who analyzed a climate model experiments and who considered basically the entire globe, including land and ocean. And in these climate model experiments, they basically found that the geographical latitudes that are usually dry would become drier in a warmer climate, and the latitudes that are usually wet would become wetter. But so this also depends on basically this very simplified spatial aggregation by just looking into certain latitude bands. There have been a number of studies recently looking into the whole pattern of precipitation changes more detailed, and they actually found, on the one hand, if you look into the different regions in a more geographical sense, with more geographical detail rather than just the latitude, then the picture might look different. And more importantly also, if you're only looking at precipitation over land, then this dry get drier, wet get wetter theory does not hold, even in the climate model.
If the dry places on Earth get more rainfall, isn't that good news?
In part. In terms of water balances, it is certainly better than receiving even less rainfall. However, as these increases are related to increasing global temperatures in terms of global warming, they go also in hand with in higher temperatures. And so if you're thinking about water availability, it's a bit more complex than just saying there is more rain, because at the same time, there might also be more evaporation as the climate becomes warmer. And so the balance between the evaporation and the increased rainfall, and so there might not be more water available, for example, for growing plants. At the same time, what we focused on with this study was not only looking into the changes of the total precipitation, but also extending the whole analysis to rainfall extremes, the kind of extremes we talked about earlier, yeah, basically the maxima of the daily rainfall amounts. And here we see that these extremes show very robust increases between the observations and the climate models with climate warming, because these rain events usually are storms that bring a lot of water just in a very short time period of a day or less. This then, it's a significant result in terms of flooding and related impacts like soil erosion, for example.
Yes, it can cause a lot of economic damage and damage to people's lives when their houses flood, their business flood, the road floods out, and so on. So your study is saying that we can expect more of that, more damage, as the climate warms.
Exactly. So basically, as the climate warms, the atmosphere can hold more water. So there's, in physics, a relationship. It's called the Clausius-Clapeyron relationship, and this defines what's the saturation water pressure of water in the atmosphere, and it tells us that with every degree of higher air temperatures, the air can hold about 6 to 7% more water vapor. And so if this increased amount of water vapor in atmosphere all rains out at the same time, then this would be related to stronger rainfall extremes and the related impacts that you were just talking about, correct?
Okay, now a senior, say somebody who's 60 years old, is looking back and they think they never saw those kind of rainfall events. I'm always hearing this on the news, well, I never saw rain like this before. Is that true?
Well, let's say at any individual location, it is really hard to measure these things, to really see if it's a record or not. This is related to several factors. On the one hand, precipitation, in particular extreme precipitation time series, are very variable in time. So we also call it very noisy in time. So this means that they show a lot of fluctuation between different years. For example, there are years that are very wet. There are other years that are very dry. And so if looking at any really just individual location, it is very hard to actually find statistically robust, statistically significant trends in these very noisy time series. What we have to do to basically get a clearer picture of the signal of the actual change compared to the noise is, for example, we would have to aggregate spatially by basically, for example, calculating a spatial average over a slightly larger region rather than just looking at one station time series. And this averaging reduces the noise, reduces the strong variability that is apparent in the individual time series, and then really helps us to more clearly actually see the signal, which in this case is then the long-term trend in the extreme precipitation, for example. So if somebody experiences a record rainfall at a specific location, and say an old person, as you were referring to, has never seen this before, this might in fact be true for this location and also in the memory of this person. But doing such analysis globally over larger regions where all the different time series have a lot of noise, it's a statement that's really hard to prove statistically.
Going forward, what does this study suggest will be happening by 2050 or 2100? Will records continue to fall so much that we just expect rains to become heavier all the time?
Yeah, exactly. So actually in this study, we also looked into future climate projections. So one part of the study really looked into the past 60 years where we could compare observations to what the climate models were doing. And we found that actually with the way we analyzed the data here, there's a high robustness, there's a really strong agreement between what we're observing and what the models are doing. So this really gives us confidence that the models actually are doing a pretty good job in simulating this kind of precipitation extremes we're looking at here. And so in the second step, we then also looked into the future simulations, future projections of the climate, for which obviously we don't have observations, but the climate models are a useful tool to look into the future. And these simulations actually suggested the tendencies that we've observed for the past 60 years will continue over the next century. So basically, we looked until the end of the 21st century, and so we see clear continuing increases in the precipitation extremes in these dry and also in the wet regions in the future projections of the climate models. And we then also tried to understand these increases a bit more detailed, because they show actually a wide range of increases, and maybe a wider range than we would be happy with giving as an indication, for example, to stakeholders. At the same time, the different future projections, as they were, example, also presented in the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change assessment reports. And here we also see that actually the increase in global temperatures shows quite a range between the different models. Yeah, for example, it might increase between 3 and 6 degrees globally for a given scenario. And so what we tried also in this study was to relate basically the precipitation response to the global climate response. And here we also found a very strong relationship that actually the spread, the uncertainty in future rainfall simulations, future rainfall projections, is strongly related to the amount of global warming to this particular model. So basically a model that shows a stronger global warming also shows a stronger precipitation response, in particular in the drier regions, whereas a model that shows less warming in response to increased greenhouse gases also shows a slightly weaker response in these extreme precipitation measures. So that we can really formulate this relationship that there's basically this dependence of precipitation changes on global temperature changes.
You are listening to Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with my guest Marcus Donat from the University of New South Wales in Australia. I'm wondering, do extreme rainfalls occur more in certain regions? For example, will they hit the developing world harder than Europe or North America?
This is a question that's still hard to answer for us. So what we knew already before the study is that on a global average, we're seeing more extreme rainfall and also more intense extreme rainfall. But the spatial patterns of how it's exactly changing in a specific region still were quite uncertain, because there's some disagreement also between different observational data sets and in particular also between the observations and the climate models. So to get closer to regional information, we took a slightly different approach in this study. We did not, for example, look into a specific country in, for example, Africa, and compared it to changes, for example, in the US, to have this comparison between developed and undeveloped world. What we did here was really looking into all the regions globally that are dry and all the regions globally that are wet, and analyzing the changes in these as an average over these dry regions and over these wet regions. But this means that, for example, we're putting together the changes in, let's say, North Africa and the Sahara with the Australian desert regions, but also with the dry regions in Southwest North America. This approach helped us to get this really consistent results, but still it is possible that in individual locations that are contributing to this larger average, there may be some different changes. So unfortunately, we are not yet really able to tell if a specific country, a specific region will be more strongly affected than others.
Well, as we wrap up, I want to ask you, are you personally concerned about our future if climate change goes further or faster than the IPCC has forecast?
I am certainly concerned in a sense that this will change the planet we are living on. This basically also calls for the responsibility of all of us, but particularly of the politics, to find solutions to help people who may not be able to live in the place where they lived before. This is probably the major impact. I don't think that we have to talk about horror scenarios that the Earth will basically not longer be a livable place, or that humans may even get extinct or something like this. It is more really that maybe some regions are no longer good regions to live in terms of course, we're talking on the one hand about sea level rise, so some land areas may just disappear. But we're also talking about other changes, such as there might be still areas where drought increases and it may not be possible to grow crops and to basically have a living there. And so there must be solutions just to settle those people elsewhere. In addition, of course, there's impacts to ecosystems. There might be extinctions to certain plant and animal species. And these are all just losses that are not reversible and that make me pessimistic. But the whole global warming science and the impacts it has on so many aspects of the world is a very complex thing. And there's many aspects to worry about. But I also think that our life and our society will continue. We just have to be prepared that it might be differently and that we will have to find solutions for several impacts that are related to this warming.
Okay. From the University of New South Wales Climate Change Research Center and the ARC Center of Excellence for Climate Systems Science, we've been speaking with Marcus G. Donat. He's the lead author of a research letter just published in the journal Nature Climate Change. It's titled More Extreme Precipitation in the World's Dry and Wet Regions. Marcus, thank you for spending time with us.
Yeah, it was my pleasure. Thank you.
We're out of time, in this radio show at least. Join me every week for Radio EcoShock and get all the links for this program in the weekly show blog at ecoshock.info. Thank you for listening and caring about your world.